For those of you who are not familiar with the NSF's Planetary Biodiversity Inventory Program, the goals and focus are generally new collections of specimens, a comprehensive phylogenetic analysis of the taxon, and species description of a quote-unquote major taxonomic group. Your definition of major can be inserted there. The focus of our particular PBI, let's go back, program is the superfamily Platygastroidea. These are all parasitic wasps, the vast majority of which are egg parasitoids of insects and spiders, and then there's another large group that are egg larval parasitoids of Cecidomyia flies, and there's a few Homopterus nymphal parasitoids stuck in there as well. Currently, there are two families with, as of last week, 4,840 quote-unquote known species. That number is already out of date. We heard some estimates of where we might end up in the future. Our latest paper had a ratio of described to new species of approximately 1 to 4, and we have a paper that will be submitted at the end of the year where in a group of 18 species, or is it 16, Matt, I forget, we have one described species. So if those numbers hold up, this is indeed going to be a major group. Here you see our Platygastroid PBI team in sub-zero weather in Columbus, Ohio. In addition to the tropical species that you might recognize in there, some of whom had never seen snow before, there's some a few calcidoid workers who weaseled their way in there. But what I really want to point out here is, even though this looks like a decently sized group, what you're seeing are a lot of people who have to do other things besides Platygastroid research in order to put bread on the table. They have to teach, have administrative duties, have advising, have theses to write, and things like that. And so what I really want to focus on today is that we have to make the best available use of the limited amount of time that these folks have available. We need to be as efficient as possible in the taxonomic process, which is the leg of the tripod of the PBI that I'm going to talk about today. So this is my sort of model of what goes on in a taxonomic process. There are probably a few things, small things missing here, but these are the major elements that I wanted to focus on. And each one of these boxes represents a possible bottleneck that we want to address in our work in order to maximize the amount of product that our PBI team can produce. So we have the details of specimen acquisition, either from new collections or from museums. And then from the published literature, you glean hypotheses of taxa and characters. And you apply these to the real scientific part of the process, which is, I see it as this feedback loop between hypotheses of what the taxa are, hypotheses of what the characters are, and you keep bouncing back and forth there until at some point you reach a saturation level where you decide to publish. And then in the publication process, there are several elements that each of those can pose a major bottleneck in terms of time. And we'll go through most of these. I'm going to skip over the specimen acquisition part right now and start with the published literature. And for each of these, tell you how we're trying to address these, or how we are addressing these in our project. So for the what has been published already, we have a digital library now consisting of 1,119 articles, and that last one was over 800 pages long, so we're well over 25,000 pages there. And this represents over 90% of the papers that have anything to do with systematics or taxonomy of the Platygastroidea available online. The first question you're going to ask me is concerning copyright restrictions. So anything that for which there are copyright restrictions, we have private methods of getting these documents to members of our team. The 9%, or actually a little bit less now, that aren't represented there are primarily very old, very useless, very rare papers. Here, I think, is one of the biggest bottlenecks, this feedback loop. And I think it's my thesis that what happens here is that when you have a single scientist or a very small group of scientists involved in this feedback loop, it's extremely difficult to break out. And so what I am trying to facilitate is bringing more minds to that process, more independent views to that process, to break out of that a little bit earlier, to criticize each other's hypotheses about what the taxa are and what the characters are. So how are we doing that? First, All the specimens have unique identifiers, and those the collecting data associated with those specimens are stored in our database, and this is one portal to gain access to the data for the individual specimens. So all the label data are recorded for all the specimens. We're making extensive use of extended focus imagery. A number, probably at least 5 or 6 of the participants in the project have their own automontage or GT vision setups in order to be able to take pictures and document what they're doing, not only for publication, but for communication between members of the team. And this is managed internally. Actually, there's a public interface that you can see, and there'll be URLs at the end, by a little image management program we call Specimage, and eventually these images will also be deposited in MorphBank. And just an example of one of the images and how we store them. For that taxon character loop, that discussion to bring more minds to that question of what the taxa are and what the characters are. For the project, we have a private wiki, which is basically an electronic discussion area that project members have a password, can log in, so it's private until we're ready to go public with any of that information. On the wiki, there are places for discussion of individual characters and discussions of the individual taxa. And you see that we can take those extended focus images, post them on the wiki very simply, and instead of simply having a verbal description of this is what I think a character is, this is the taxon I'm talking about, actually have that up there so that Simon Van Noort on the other side of the world or Andy Austin on the other side of the world can see what we're talking about and understand what we're trying to say and criticize it, corroborate it, whatever. And then the characters are recorded in a web application. Actually, it's linked to our taxonomic and specimen database that we call vSysLab to form a taxon by character matrix. Here you see the matrix itself displayed, and there are several ways to get data into it. From this interface here, you can see that where it says add in the matrix, that means nothing has been scored. You can see what has been scored and rescored, or add additional character states for that. So, and also what you might be able to detect there is it handles both quantitative and qualitative characters. And here I wanted to illustrate, this is just a list of the characters, and you notice some icons up there that when you click on those will bring up an image of that character state. So instead of just that verbal description, we have an image to show what is meant by that character state. Once we break out of that taxon character loop there and get to the publication process, of course there are a number of things that can occupy your time, some productively, some not so much. One is taxonomic history, and we have an online systematic catalog with all the literature annotated, which you can simply cut and paste into your publication. We have keys from that taxon by character matrix. You can dump the information in a Lucid interchange format or an XML format that Lucid can also ingest. The description from that taxon by character matrix is produced automatically, and we can arrange the order in which these are presented. Material examined, because there's so many different formats in which people like to do this, we decided to go with simply producing an Excel spreadsheet, which you can then sort and extract the data you want in any format. And then finally, maps, which are produced on the fly, in this case using Google Maps, for on the web presentation. If you want to take a look at any of these tools we're using, we've set up persistent URLs, so you just go to that base URL and append on the end of it one of these, what is it, 5 addresses for each of the individual products. They all have public interfaces, so you can get in there and muck around and see what they do and see if you like it. If you like it, let us know. If you want to use them, let us know. For that, I'll thank my PBI team, all the members, and the NSF for its support, and entertain any questions. Thank you. Anybody? Jack.
You know, I was really interested in that middle part you talked about of the taxon character exchange among people around the world, mm-hmm. looking and discussing characters and taxa. Is that actually working? How much time do people actually take to interact that way over the web, looking at somebody else's taxa and going, oh no, that's just so-and-so.
I can't quantify how much it's working. It is working. People are using it. We've just submitted a paper with, like, I forget how many authors, 8 authors, reflecting the input that people have put into the revision of that genus. When we had our inaugural workshop, probably the wisest words that we heard is that what's going to get in the way of this project are the egos of the scientists involved. And all I figure we can do is to try to ameliorate that as much as possible. And if that's going to persist, then we're just going to have to work around that. George, yes?
If the system does actually describe two species, how do you determine the authorship? Are there going to be 8 authors of every damn name?
Personally, well, what we did with the paper that has been submitted is not everybody of those 8 authors participated in developing the taxonomic concept for every species. But those who had substantive input are authors, and so we have species with 3 authors. Maybe it could be more. Personally, I wouldn't be offended by having a species with the author name being Platygastroid PBIT. That makes perfect sense to me. Now you get your real break.